because they cannot be shaken by their opposites, and because they strengthen their agents. So they cannot be shaken by their opposite. What is the opposite of Bada Bala? The power of faith? Skeptical. So when the faith arises in you, then doubt cannot overcome you, because the faith cannot be shaken by the doubt. Then what is the opposite of hearing? Power of shame. Shamelessness. Shamelessness is the opposite power of shame. Then what is the opposite of power of fear? A dread. There's fearlessness. Fearlessness of wrong. Fearlessness of consequences of wrongdoing. And the opposite of the power of effort is laziness. Laziness. And the last one, the opposite of panya is the opposite of wisdom is darkness. Ignorance, darkness. The mind is very dark. So when you have this bala, when you have this power, this five power, then the skeptical doubt, shamefulness, shamelessness, fearlessness of consequences of wrongdoing, laziness and dullness of the mind cannot overcome you, because you have the power, this five powers. Okay, now we come to the five faculties, indriya. And this indriya is extremely important for a person to realize Nibbana. When a person cannot see Nibbana, usually we say the five faculties are not balanced. So if after this person, the first type of person, dwells depending upon the five training powers, then the five faculties arise in him prominently, very strongly, very prominently. This is the key word. What are the five faculties? The faculties of faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration and wisdom. What is the difference between faculties and power, bala? Faculties, we call indriya. Indriya means the faculties are phenomena which exercise control in their respective domains. Again, the faculties are phenomena which exercise control in their respective domains over their associated states. So in our heart, in our mind, we have five faculties. But sometimes one faculty becomes excessive. For example, faith faculty becomes excessive, then this faith faculty exercise control in their respective domain over their associated state. So the fifth faculty exercise control over wisdom faculty, over concentration faculty, over energy faculty, over mindfulness faculty, and they come out of balance. This is called faculty. Faculty is very important, just like a minister who govern a place. Who govern the Balai Pulau, a minister who govern Batu Tinggi, govern Pulau Tikus. So he is very important. He exercises control, controlling power. This is the faculty. And in order to attain Nibbana, this faculty must arise in the person prominently, not feebly. must be very strong, very prominent. Okay, the first one, what is the faculty of faith? In Samyutta Nikaya, Indriya Samyutta, Indriya Samyutta, number 9. Indriya Samyutta, Sutta number 9. Buddha explained these 5 faculties in details. Buddha said, because they are these 5 faculties. What 5? The faculty of faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. And what bhikkhu is the faculty of faith? The faculty of faith same as a bala of bala, the power of faith. He places the faith in the enlightenment of the Buddha. So whenever we talk about the faith in the teaching of the Buddha, we place the faith in the enlightenment of the Buddha in the applicable application of Dharma. Means Dharma is visible, you can experience it now. No need to wait for next life. And we have faith in the achievement of Sangha, means Arya Sangha, noble Sangha, not ordinary Sangha. So whenever we talk about faith in the teaching of the Buddha, then we have faith in Buddha, Dharma, Sangha. And this Sangha is not ordinary monk. The monk who has realized four noble truths. This type of monk is the Sangha we place faith in them. Okay, this is the faculty of faith. Number 2, faculty of energy. Here, bhikkhus, the noble disciple dwells with energy aroused for the abandoning of unwholesome states. So whatever unwholesome state arises in your mind, you know it's very dangerous for you. So you arouse your effort to abandon it. Again and again, abandon it. Whenever it arises, you abandon it. This is called effort. But if you do not abandon it and you entertain it, keep the unwholesome state in your mind, entertain it, and put it into action, as verbal action or bodily action, then we create karma. Action. When we create karma, we harm ourselves and we harm other people. Therefore, in order not to let the evil state beset our mind, we must have effort to abandon whatever evil state arises in the mind. And also acquisition of wholesome states. Not only we abandon the bad one, we must achieve, get the good one, develop the good one. That's why the Buddha's teaching say, avoid evil, do good. Purify your mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. Now, if anyone asks you what's the teaching of the Buddha, very simple. Avoid evil. Whatever evil arises, abandon it. Then develop good quality of the mind. Then find the third one, purify your mind. How can a person purify the mind? Through meditation. So meditation is the goal, final goal of Buddha's teaching. So acquisition of wholesome state. He is strong, firm in exertion, not shrinking the responsibility of cultivating wholesome states. He never shrink in cultivating good things. This is called the faculty of energy. So this faculty of energy is same as faculty, is same as the power of faith. And he generates desire for the non-arising of unarisen unwholesome state. He generates desire for the non-arising of unarisen evil mental state. So whatever evil mental state which has not yet arisen in your mind, then he generates desire for non-arising. Do not let it arise at all. You must have that type of effort. then it makes effort. Arouse energy, apply his mind, and strives. Then he generates desire for the abandoning of arisen evil and wholesome states. It makes an effort, arouse energy, applies his mind, and strives. He generates desire for arising of unarisen wholesome states. So for we have many wholesome states, there are many wholesome states which has not yet arisen in our mind. Let's say jhana. This wholesome state has not yet arisen in our mind. So we generate desire. Let's say arising and passing away, inside of arising and passing away, which has not yet arisen in our mind, so we generate the effort to let it arise in the mind. So whatever wholesome state, which has not yet arisen in our mind, we must have that desire to let it arise in our mind. This regarding the wholesome state. Then he makes an effort, arouses energy, applies his mind and strives. Then he generates desire for the maintenance of a reason wholesome state. For example, now you can meditate well. When you go back, then you become lazy. You cannot maintain what you have achieved in the retreat. And you have no more desire to maintain it. When you have no desire to maintain it, it just drops. Just like you roll the sampan. If you don't put energy, then you roll the sampan, go against the stream. So if you don't put forth energy, the sampan just go backward. Similarly, in the wholesome dharma, happen in the same way. If you don't put enough effort, your wholesome state just withdraw, going backward. So you need the effort to maintain. Maintenance is also very important. Just you stay in a condo, you also pay maintenance every day. If you don't pay maintenance, the cut will come. Ask you to pay the maintenance. So for money, you pay money for maintenance. But for your spiritual path, you pay what? Effort, time, energy, effort to maintain your spiritual path. If not, it will not move forward. Without effort, how you move? You know, there are three steps in front of you. There's a goal. Three steps in front of you, there's a goal. But you just stand still there, stand, go, come to me. I cannot go, you come to me. No, it doesn't work in that way. So, if you don't move forward, but you stand still, and yet you have, there's a three steps to reach the goal. This is called maintenance. Maintain and not to go backward. So if you don't have this maintenance, sure you will go backward. Therefore, to maintain it also needs effort. So a person generates desire for the maintenance of a reason wholesome states for their non-decay. For their increase, expansion, and fulfillment by development. You develop it up to the fullness. So he makes an effort, arouses energy, applies his mind, and strives. This is called the faculty of energy. So Buddha said, the faculty of energy is the root of all success. Now we know the teaching of the Buddha already. We know the precious of the teaching of the Buddha. We know the concentration, how the concentration make our mind so calm, serene, happy, sensitive, tender. We know already. But no energy to move. No is one thing. To move forward is another thing. That's why Buddha said, the root of all success is energy. Okay, the third faculty, the faculty of mindfulness. Here, bhikkhus, the noble disciples, is mindful, possessing supreme mindfulness and wisdom. One who remembers and recollects what was done and said long ago. So you will be very surprised. Why Buddha explained faculty of mindfulness in this way? We always think that faculty of mindfulness just know what's happening now. What's happening now is called mindfulness. But mindfulness has two meanings. If you study the sutta, you will realize many times mindfulness means memory. Whatever you have said in the past, you have done in the past, you can remember. This is also mindfulness. Now, sometimes when somebody tells you something, tomorrow you forget already. That's why we say, you are not mindful, you are not mindful. Today tell you, tomorrow you forget. How can you recollect a past life so far away? So in order to recollect one's past life, you also need strong memory of the past. This can be cultivated. So here Buddha explained the meaning of faculty in two ways. The first one, he said that the noble disciple is mindful, possessing supreme mindfulness and wisdom, one who remembers and recollects what was done and said long ago. This sentence refers to memory. Whatever you say you've done, you remember it well. This is called mindfulness also. And the second one, Buddha says, he dwells contemplating the body in body, feelings in feelings, mind in mind, phenomena in phenomena, ardent, clearly comprehending, mindful, having removed covetousness and displeasure in regard to the world. This is called the faculty of mindfulness. So another meaning, the faculty of mindfulness is four foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation of mindfulness is very famous discourse in Theravada school. Even in Mahayana, it's Mahayana school, Southern school, also very famous, four foundation of mindfulness. So as a practitioner, we must understand what are the four foundations of mindfulness. We always say mindfulness is very important. Mindfulness is very important. How to cultivate mindfulness? So there are four ways for you to cultivate mindfulness. There are four foundations for you to cultivate mindfulness. Number one is your body. You know what's happening in the body. It's called contemplation of body. Mindfulness of breathing is also contemplation of body, because you use the body. The breath arises depend on the body. So you use the body to cultivate mindfulness. You fully use the body. We don't use the body to enjoy sensual pleasures. Yes, we also use the body to enjoy sensual pleasures, but we also use the body to cultivate the Dharma. Okay, this contemplation of body. The second one, contemplation of feelings. So whatever feeling that arises, there are three types of feeling. Pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Whatever feeling arises in you, whether in the body or some pain. Pain is unpleasant bodily feeling. Sorrow. Sorrow is unpleasant mental feeling. Happiness. Mental happiness is pleasant feeling. Then body, when your mind is very calm, no more pain, you feel very pleasant. It's called pleasant bodily feeling. So whether any feeling that arises through body, either through body or through mental, you are mindful of it, you know it. You know what's happening in your mind, what's happening in the body. Then you are called a person who has mindfulness. Sometimes we don't even know what's happening in our mind because so blur the mind. Then we say, you are not mindful. Therefore, I always say that if you only pay attention to Anapanasati and do not know how to contemplate your feeling, it's not enough.
Not enough.
I strongly against a person only practice anapanasati and other things do not at all. Not enough. Not enough to attain higher state. So other time, when you're out of cushion, you must try to contemplate your different type of feelings. Feeling, contemplation of feeling is extremely important because according to dependent origination, dependent on feeling, what arises? Please answer me, what arises? Dependent on feeling, what arises?
Craving.
Dependent on feeling, craving arises. And craving is the cause of all suffering. Craving, according to Four Noble Truths, craving is the origin of all suffering. And we, as a practitioner, we want to overcome the craving. So if you want to overcome the craving, you must not let craving arise. How to not let craving arises? Is to be mindful of the feelings. When you can overcome the pleasant feeling and unpleasant feeling, then the dependent on feeling, craving will not arise. Because you already see the impermanence, suffering, and non-self of feeling, then it will not develop to craving. Therefore, as a practitioner, you must know how to contemplate feelings. Anapanasati alone is not enough for you. Okay? Then the third foundation is contemplation of mind, mental state. This is also very important. Very important mental state. Why? Because mind is foreigner. According to Dhammapada, the first opening stanza of Dhammapada, mind is forerunner of good and evil state. So if you can control your mind, you can know your mind, contemplate your mind, then you will not do bodily action. You will not do verbal action. Because you only stop at the mind level. All the kilesa, all the requirements come from the mind. So if you can master your mind, then you master the Dhamma. However, to be able to master the mind is extremely difficult. Because mind is very fast. Before you know, another thought already arises. Very fast. So you keep on chasing after the thought, you feel, oh, your speed, your mindfulness, the speed of your mindfulness just unable to catch up with the mind, with the changing of the mind. Therefore, Buddha teach contemplation of body first. More easy. You can control your breath, but you cannot control your mind. So we start with the gross object first, which is body. And later on we move to feeling, we move on to mind. And lastly is mental state. This is even more complicated. We are not going to deal now. So mindfulness, faculty of mindfulness is to be able to mindful of these four objects. Body, feeling, mental state, and phenomena. Okay, the fourth one. What is the faculty of concentration? Here, because the noble disciple gains concentration, gains one-pointedness of mind, having made release the object. So this is one way of explanation. Buddha say, just say, a disciple gains concentration, gains one-pointedness of mind, having made release the object. Having made release the object means having made Nibbana as object. This is one way of explanation. Another way of explanation is first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana. So when we say faculty of concentration, we mean first, second, third, fourth jhana. But another way, Buddha say, just say one-pointedness of mind. So this is faculty of concentration. And the last one, faculty of wisdom. As I said before, whenever Buddha talk about wisdom, Buddha refer to insight of arising and passing away. And what bhikkhus is the faculty of wisdom? Here bhikkhus, the noble disciple, is wise. He possesses wisdom directed to arising and passing away. This one explanation. Another way of explanation is he understands as it really is. This is suffering. This is the origin of suffering. This is the cessation of suffering, and this is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. This is called the faculty of wisdom. Mean the Four Noble Truths. Understanding the Four Noble Truths is called faculty of wisdom. So if this five faculty arise in one prominently, very prominently, he is sure to attain Nirvana in this life. But if this faculty arise in him not prominently, feebly, then during dying moment, with the breakup of the body, he may attain Nirvana. So as a practitioner, you have to pay special attention to these five controlling faculties. Okay, any question about these five controlling faculties? Is there a question? Can you use the mic? And the balancing of these faculties is very important, the balancing of it. How to balance it? Fifth faculty must be balanced with wisdom faculty. If a person wisdom too strong, he likes to question this, question that, like Westerner. Westerners have very strong faculty. So he likes, why like that? A lot of questions in their mind, so it's very difficult for them to gain concentration. Very difficult for them to gain the faith in the teaching of the Buddha. But for Asian character are more obedient. So what the teacher say, they follow. So they lack this discriminative wisdom. So sometimes Asians also very easily misled by others because the faith faculty is so strong. So one new teaching come up, let everybody follow. Another teaching come up, oh, everybody follow. Because Asian people have very strong obedient character, which is very harmful sometimes. We call it blind faith. But the teaching of Buddha is not blind faith. You practice, you experience it, you know it, then you say, oh yes, the teaching of Buddha is correct. That's why we say, ihi pasipo, come and see. We never say, come and believe. No. Buddha's teaching says, no, come and believe, no. We say, come, you see yourself first. You benefited it or not. If yes, then continue. If no, you can go away. Nobody will force you to come back again. No. So we say come and see, and also he said visible. The teaching of the Buddha is visible, applicable now, not to wait until next life. So it's very different. Therefore, in order to let this five faculty mature and balance, faith must be balanced with wisdom. Extremely important. Then concentration must be balanced with effort. Sometimes when you practice anapana, you put too much effort until tension arises on your head. When there is tension arises in your head, there's no concentration at all because you put too much effort. Then you try to relax. You relax, and relax too much. Become sleepy again. So one hindrance after another, because you don't know how to balance. Therefore, when you practice anapanasati, try to relax and yet keep the mind alert. And that doesn't mean put too much effort. And also no need to focus too much. If you focus too much, it causes tension. Because you know you are breathing. Why for you focus so much? Not necessary. Many people focus to the breath, which is not correct. Just know and know. Just know it. Know it. Then gradually, effort and concentration will be balanced. And you will reach a good state. Then you lose your body. You cannot see the body anymore. Very pleasant. No pain. No body, no pain. When there's body, there's pain. But sometimes the good state will never come back again. Once you experience the good, second sitting you are waiting already. Waiting for the good state to come back, but never come. And you end up in disappointment. This is human nature. Human nature is greedy. Once you have experienced something good, you grasp it. You want it to come. For example, this morning I experienced light, let's say. Then next sitting I become very excited. Before I sit, oh, light will come again. So you keep on breathing with the expectation and end up with black light, really. Not white light, black light. So when you sit the time, empty your mind. Although last sitting you experienced a good one, forget it. It may come or it may not come. It's beyond your control. It's anatta, non-self. If I want it come, it comes. Very easy. There's non-self already. No? The good will come when all the factors are fulfilled. Then your meditation progress very fast. But if you sit with expectation that it will come again, your mind is painted. Already become a little bit dirty already. Now tainted with expectation. This lobha, greed, subtle greed, and you are not aware of it. Then of course the good state will not come because your mind is no more clean, no more clear. It's tainted with excitement or with expectation. I want to achieve jhana, I want to see the light. Without light there's no progress. So you are using light to judge your meditation, which is also not correct. So when you sit, empty the boat, empty the mind. Just sit, enjoy your meditation, that's all. Whether good or bad, you will not know. Just like me. When I sit down, I will never know this sitting, whether it will be good or whether it will be bad. I never know. So I just sit down. Good is good, bad is bad, so what? This is the correct attitude. If you have this type of attitude, you will enjoy your meditation. If not, you say, come 5 days, no light again. Instead of you go away with happiness, I have accumulated a lot of good karma in this 5 retreats. My dana, my sila, my bhavana, but you only think of light, so you go back with disappointment. This all we call it wrong attitude. But if you got the light, then you're happy, you go back with more happiness only. If no light, you go back with happiness also. With light, more happiness, that's all. This is the correct attitude. Light doesn't mean anything. You have light and have no light, so what? Okay, it makes you more happy, I mean. But if no light, you still enjoy your meditation. This is the correct attitude, okay? And so balance this two, and the last one, faculty of mindfulness. This is always lacking. We never heard anybody say, I have excessive mindfulness. There's no such excessive mindfulness. Always lacking one. So mindfulness always see other faculty. Mindfulness always see that, effort is too excessive. Then you reduce a little bit. So mindfulness always see, I think too much intelligently. I think, analyze too much. So reduce your analytical mind. Then mindfulness always see, concentration too strong. Then it becomes sleepy. Then put some more effort. So mindfulness oversee everything, like supervisor, oversee. However, mindfulness is always not enough. That's why mindfulness also cannot oversee because it is still not enough. Therefore, we must cultivate more and more mindfulness. And anapanasati
We call it Anapanasati. Sati is mindfulness. So mindfulness of the breath. So when you practice Anapanasati, you are also practicing mindfulness at the present moment. Because we are looking at the present moment, our breath. Okay, so balancing these five faculties are essentially, is very important for our practice. Okay? So question? We let him ask us.
Your Sayali, your answer already
given.
So no more question.
Okay. Never mind, the next person. What's your question? Yeah, what's your original question?
The question was yesterday was about the five bhavas followed by the five indriyas. So the bhavas are the powers of the bhavas, and then followed by the five controlling faculties. So I was asking about it is sort of like a cause and effect, and it's a gradual training. So I don't have any it's not a question today.
I think the question was the difference between this hukun her uli. What's the
please speak into the mind, because I believe when we are recording, somebody will be doing the transcribing. So we want the questions and also the answers clearly for the benefit of the subscribers, the transcribers and all.
Your question, my question.
No, I think yesterday Saleh was trying to explain the difference between, they are very close like Uten and Ulisa. So that was the question. I mean my question, I don't know your question is what.
Okay, pass to another one.
Saleh, just now you mentioned that mindfulness also includes to remember about the past. But isn't that to remember about the past not something very good? For example, you keep on remember about your previous sitting, then it's not something good. Or you remember about your mistake, you cannot forgive yourself, also not good.
Of course, Buddha never asked us to remember the past wrong deed we have done, right? Just what you have done, you know it. You know only. You know it doesn't mean that you will keep on living in the past. So what I have done, let's say last time I give you an example. I have met one man in Bodhihatta. When I first time met him, I told him that I know you. He said that, no, I never see you before. I said, yes, I see you. I said, 20 years ago. He was very shocked. 20 years ago, you see me one, you can remember. So when you told me that, then I know my mindfulness is very strong. Whatever I see, I did, I wrong, I can remember. But doesn't mean that I remember all the wrong deeds I have done, right? Even though you remember, but you do not recollect it. You can recollect the good one and ignore the bad one. Just like the robber, smart robber. Just remember the good one. Without this memory, what you have learned in your university as a doctor, you all forgot, then how can you become a doctor? You must remember well, right? This I think Buddha referred to this type of mindfulness.
Sorry, a lot of books actually given these five powers and five kauti exactly the same hukun uli. They give the same thing in thing with the faith, energy, mindfulness. More like here it's with the shame and moral shame and moral dread. That's one point. The other thing is about mindfulness. In the northern tradition, some of the books they actually put out as 真知真念,
it's like 真知真念.
So it's like you know, like, let's say you start to 真知 is the one that helping you. You develop that as if you start to leave the object, you already know it. And then even before it start to become weakened, the object become weakened, you already know it. That part is they call it 真念, whereas it's the one that you maintain. They separate in that way. You maintain on the object. But the 真知, the knowing, is the one that helping you to keep it there so that it doesn't run away, or as it runs away, get it back. So your expansion of the mindfulness is like including those two together.
Okay. If this is Southern school explanation, then it's very different from the Theravada school. Theravada school, we say mindfulness and clear comprehension. Clear comprehension is 真知. So we always have mindfulness first. Mindfulness, what's mindfulness? Just know what's happening, mindfulness. Mindfulness. Let's say unpleasant feeling arise, I know. Just know it, we do not analyze it. No analyze at all. Just got bare awareness. Just know it. But because you mindfulness, like you freeze it, you know it, you freeze it, then clear comprehension follows. Then clear comprehension means wisdom. Start to realize, this unpleasant feeling is impermanent. It's not something stable there. So clear comprehension immediately know, it arises, passes away, arises, passes away. So according to Theravada school, mindfulness first. Clear comprehension comes after mindfulness.
Actually, it's not exactly like that. It's the 真知, they don't explain as a comprehension. It's like knowing. It doesn't go and analyze the phenomenon.
This also no analyze. No, clear comprehension, no analyze. It's just wisdom, see it as it actually is. No analyzing.
It's sort of some guide behind the awareness that, you know, awareness is like you fix in one object, and then that 真知 is the one, if it runs away, then you know it. And as you develop it, it becomes sharper and sharper. Until even if, you know, you have some intention of running away, as you know, the object becomes weaker, you already know it. You start to do something about it. Or the object becomes duller and duller, you start knowing it, you do something about it.
I think knowing it itself is mindfulness. For example, the mind becomes dull already, you know it. That is mindfulness. But if you try something to make it bright, then it is a small part of 真知, but not the wisdom part. It's just a replacement to make it brighter only, but it's not the wisdom to see this dullness state is also impermanent. It's not the wisdom part, what you mentioned one. When we talk about a clear comprehension, it's same like wisdom. You know it, when you mindfulness know it, then it gives room to the clear comprehension to know that phenomena arising, passing away, arising, passing away. That in southern school we call it clear comprehension, 真知. In fact, 真知 got four meaning one. First is clear comprehension of beneficial, 效益正知. Then second, clear comprehension of suitability, 适合适宜正知. The third, gochara sampajaya, clear comprehension of domain. Domain means 行处正知. Wherever you move, you know, you keep your attention on one object, called 行处正知. The fourth is asammoha sampajaya, 无痴正知. 无痴正知 means wisdom, no? 无痴 means wisdom. So wisdom sees phenomena as they really are, as impermanent suffering and nonsense. So there are four stages of 真知.
So that in Southern tradition, that 真知 is part of the wisdom?
Yes. That's why we say, if only mindfulness know wisdom, it's not a teaching of Buddha. It's not a teaching of Buddha. Because if only knowing, dog, also know he's walking, walking, walking. But you ask the dog, please contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta. He cannot. The dog has no this wisdom. So mindfulness alone is never enough. So we always say mindfulness and clear comprehension, 正念, 正知. 正知 in Theravada school is wisdom. Another words of wisdom. Asammoha, sampajaya. Clear comprehension of non-delusion. So there are four type of 正知. So you must know which 正知 you refer to.
Then the concentration is further on of the mindfulness that able to maintain on the same object, whereas the mindfulness can change object.
Yes. No, mindfulness is not. Anapanasati also mindfulness. Without mindfulness, there's no concentration on it. So effort and mindfulness two together produce deep concentration. For example, I'm mindful of the breath. I know I'm breathing. Without us knowing you are breathing, how you develop concentration, right? You know you are breathing. So when the mind goes off effort, pull the mind back. Then again, mindful of the breath. Then go somewhere else. Effort, pull the mind back. Again. So with the effort and mindfulness, concentration goes deeper. So mindfulness is a very basic thing. So we call mindfulness of breathing. 正念 在于你的呼吸。
Sailing. Actually, when we translate this anapanasati to mindfulness of breathing, it gives a wrong impression. Because I come across that in Pali, anna itself is in breath.
Anapana means in
and out. And out. Mm. So it should be mindfulness of in and out.
Mindfulness of in and out
breath. Out.
Because when we say the breathing, we know breathing consists only in and out. So understood, we know breathing consists of two, so we are mindful of in and out breath.
So because of this, I was practicing for many years mindfulness of just the breathing.
Just
and not the in and out, yeah.
You're not knowing in and out.
Yeah, just the breathing only.
So, not knowing in and out.
Right.
No,
I mean just being aware of the breathing, not the in and the out breath. So there's another step from in and out breath, is the in and then long or short, out, long or short. Right? There's a progress.
Right. So next time we should use mindfulness of in breath and out breath, not mindfulness of breathing. Okay? More precise,
huh?
But sometimes we say count the breath in breath one, out breath one. In breath, out breath one. So also already say in breath, out breath. But sometimes the mind just cling to one thing that always cling only breathing, no in and out. So sometimes the mind is very funny. Okay?
Finally, how to see arising and passing away?
How to see arising and passing away? How to see this? Okay, how to see arising and passing away? This is called insight meditation, vipassana. Vipassana, what's the object of vipassana? Six sense faces. Five aggregate or whatever arises in your body and mind. Apply mindfulness first. Mindfulness. For example, unpleasant feeling. You see it. When you see it a time, don't give any judgment or any like or dislike to it. For example, unpleasant feeling, everybody don't like. I hate you, go away. This is called reaction already. When you add in your reaction, your mind is not in the mirror, your mind is not kept in a neutral way already. This reaction is called karma already. So we are mindful of it, unpleasant feeling, know it, unpleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, unpleasant, know it. When your wisdom is natural, automatically you will see that unpleasant feeling arise, pass away. that you have to wait until your five controlling faculty balance. Then you see it.
At this stage, maybe we are not at that level yet.
But we cannot say when he will come. He will come any time. Just I say, Ananda, he lie down, hey, become Arahant. So at that time, five controlling faculties suddenly balance. So this thing here, 可遇不可求. You can just hope, but you don't know when it comes. It's a cause and effect. Cause and effect, you just cannot, you don't know when it will come. Just like jhana. You think, no, just now so bad, just sitting so bad, this sitting sure gone one. Then you sit, whoa, so good, just sitting. So certain things you just cannot expect. Just live in the present moment.
Tell me about the same questions. Sometimes what I usually do is that if I come out with a feeling, let's say fear or worry or anything, I know that yes, I have this fear feeling, I have this worry or whatever, but I don't go further on that. And then I start to observe it.
Good.
And then it disappeared after a while. Then I realized nothing stays the same. That gave me the experience and the confidence.
Yes.
So I thought this is the way that we try to practice and develop our mindfulness.
Yes, correct.
Otherwise, we say, wait until everything is balanced. That's very far away for most of us.
Yes. That's the practice. Yes. That's why I said, except anapana, you also must aware of your emotion. Emotion comes, aware of it. Don't cling to it as permanent. Don't cling to it as myself. Then it will go away. When you go away, then you know, oh, it's impermanent. You got confident already. Next time it comes again, I got confident. It is impermanent. It will pass away. Again and again, then gradually your insight becomes sharper. Your wisdom becomes sharper and sharper, and you come to a point, you see it very fast. Not wait until 5 minutes, it passes away. No. Immediately it arises, you see it passes away. But now our wisdom is not as sharp as can immediately see it passes away. Maybe you contemplate it for 5 minutes, passes away. Still very good. 5 minutes only passed away, still very good. At least you are not carried away by your emotion. Like what Ying Zai say, this is the way of the practice. Mix concentration and vipassana must mix together. You acknowledge and you don't react. Don't dwell and don't react to it.
So that means we acknowledge but we do not dwell in
it. Yes. Acknowledge means mindfulness. We know, we acknowledge it, but we don't react with fear. Oh, fear, fear, I'm going to die. The more you think, the more you draw on it, the more it exaggerates. But you just know, then mentally you also must know it is impermanent one. Although you do not experience impermanent, but you already know what all formations are impermanent. So you already know it will pass away, it will pass away. Then it will really pass away.
Writing passes away. Usually, it is the feeling, right? Let's say fear is you can feel it disappear. Is it a writing passes is through the passing away is through the feeling?
Wait, say it again.
Because just now we were saying that writing passing away,
we
eventually we want to see pass away. The passing away is kind of feeling. You feel it pass away.
Yes, it's no more there already. It's no more there already.
To me, it's
you know
your experience.
Yes, of course.
Your experience it pass away.
Of course.
It's not really see it pass away.
It's not really that. Your mind see it. Mental phenomena cannot see by eyes. So your mind know, it's no more there.
For example,
last time I deal with my publisher. Publisher. What I want her to do come out all beyond what I want. So my mind feel very irritated because my book. So I feel very irritated. I sit down. Better sit down and contemplate and meditate. So I sit down, I want to take that irritation to contemplate. I try to find it. Long already gone. It's no more there already. So just now I feel so irritated, like madman already, like mad woman. I said, no, I'm practitioner, I cannot be like that. So I want to contemplate that irritation. But I try to see it, where is the irritation? Long time passed away, no more there. I try to take it out also, it's no there.
Actually, because we always use the word see, actually it's not see, right?
Because in Pali word is called dasana. Pali word dasana means seeing with inside knowledge, not with our eyes. Just like the word breathing, don't forget in breath. So words sometimes can be very misleading.
Yeah.
You experience it.
Yeah, the
book
of knowing and seeing also
yeah.
Always giving the kind of
impression. Because seeing is Pali word dasana. When you use Pali word dasana, everybody understand. It's inside knowledge. Seeing with inside knowledge.
Another thing I want to ask you, just now you're saying the mindfulness is not referring to two things. One is awareness, another one is memory. So, to train the mindfulness, the four foundations of the mindfulness, but to train our memory, besides the four, there are any other.
I think, I don't know, you want to have good memory, if you practice anapanasati, your mind becomes very sharp, then you can recollect the past also.
Because
it
actually the mind. Forgetful. That's why I'm thinking whether Buddha touched anything about this memory.
Your concentration produces good memory. Those who have good concentration, your mind is so clear. When your mind is so clear, even your past life can flashback. But if purposely want to train your memory, I think very difficult.
How about those people that have people when you go home and you muscle program, when you tell your muscle,
I think the one can ask doctor,
the brain will ask more.
But the training can help.
Help the Alzheimer. I think Alzheimer is, I believe it's all part of the karma. If karma, you cannot escape. Like Ajahn Chah is a great master in the world, but he ended up vegetable, 10 years vegetable. When I think of this, I feel so disgusted about the rebirth. I feel so disgusted about Runway Sansara. It's no guarantee, you see. But even mine is working, but suffering, when I see, some vegetable is full of suffering already. If he's arahana, he will not feel the suffering. But still, even you see outside like this, I feel a lot of disgust. I have a lot of disgust, not to him, no, towards life. I feel so disgust towards existent life. Because when there's existent, really suffering will come to you. You know when and you know what type of suffering.
Breathing stopped and everything stopped, they thought that it's passed away already. Then the nurse went to resuscitate them, then the monk stopped them. And then as a part of compromise, the nurse would check the oxygen level every few minutes. And
unless I am the one, like Anuruddha, I can analyze Ajahn Chah's mental state to all. But if at that time nobody had this ability, I just doubt. I'm not a person simply before I say, okay? So I just doubt. Sometimes you want to make a master more perfect. Around people's face. Of course, you can add anything to make him more perfect now. Because Ajahn Chah cannot be back with you anymore. What you write about him also, no one can say anything. Right? But this is not the point. My point is that whether you are a big master or what, sometimes the karma, the bad karma we perform in the past life, just happen, we have to suffer physically. This is called the danger of samsara. Luân hồi là khổ phận. Would you know? It can happen to us sometimes. The Buddha wants us to reflect the danger of going around the circle of life, the danger of it. Like Moggallana. Moggallana almost in sati power. You know, his sati power was so quick, and yet he was beaten to death by 500 monks, 500 robbers. Beaten until all the skeletons dispersed. Sati power, five sati power arahant, also cannot fight with karma. So karma is something very frightening.
Sorry, just now you mentioned about this rising and passing away. So let's say in meditation, when you have the leg pain, so when you look at the rising and passing away, will you go away?
It depends on your, basically it depends on the maturity of your wisdom. Some people, it look at the pain, 20 minutes when you pass away. This type of rising and passing away is not considered as insight. When you consider as insight knowledge, the moment you see it arising,
because we are recording our
own. The moment you see it pass away, then not only, then when it passes away, it does not stop there, no? Arising again. Then you only see arising, passing away, arising, passing away. You do not see the pain anymore. You just see everything is possible. This type of insight I refer to. There's no gap. There's no gap in between arising and passing away. In between arising and passing away, there's no gap at all. If there's a gap, 5 minutes gap or 10 minutes gap, it's not considered keen insight knowledge. But you experience arising, passing away, but slow insight knowledge. Not keen in
the
language. Keen. Keen. A-E-N. Keen. Sharp. Sharp.
So you mean that the thing that we experience, we thought that it's there forever, actually it's rising and passing away. Very short.
It's just that why we cannot see? Because our wisdom is not, our concentration, my inner wisdom is not sharp enough. It's not sharp to see.
So you can see that and you don't feel the pain.
Right, you don't feel the pain at all. You only see the rising coming, no more pain. Just see the rising coming. This inside knowledge of the body.
So how to
play on that? It's super
professional. I find that one way to train is to look at in and out breath. Every breath. Every in and every out breath.
Just now we are talking about the five faculties. So based on the five aggregates, form, feeling, perception, cognition, so that means the main objective for this Namarupa, we are conscious of the consciousness, that will we have a very clear effect on these five faculties conclusively, right? Am I saying that correctly?
But
what is this?
I don't understand.
I'll be a bit slower. Based on the five faculties, right? So what I'm trying to understand is based on the five aggregates, form, feeling, perception, cognition, and the last mental factor is what we call consciousness. Right? So consciousness is based on nama rupa. So can we conclusively say that we are conscious of the nama rupa, then we can comprehend these five faculties. Am I right to say that conclusively?
Yes. But not very closely related.
Not closely related.
But what is the statement is correct, but not very direct to the point.
Okay, what is the slightest difference or any differences between the two?
Difference?
what are the different things?
What you see that is still, what is the thing that is not so clear? To get a clearer picture.
This five controlling faculties are the mental phenomena. Mental phenomena. Among the five aggregates, there are four mental aggregates. So the consciousness is mindful of this mental phenomena. Then we can say like that.
Okay.
We can say that that is correct.
But consciousness comes from wisdom, right? That is based on Namarupa.
Consciousness does not come from wisdom.
Because wisdom comes from clear comprehension.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So based on clear comprehension and how you build your consciousness, then
based on clear
comprehension, and then with the aspect of consciousness based on Namarupa. Right?
The question is very confusing.
Okay, I make it quite simpler. Okay. Now, based on the five faculties, which is very predominantly important, but those anatta is non-clinging, is based on the five aggregates. Okay? So, based on these five faculties, is it related to the last factor is very important for this kind of practice on consciousness.
I don't want to talk about consciousness, it's nothing to do with consciousness. You said the last faculty is wisdom faculty, right?
But consciousness comes from nama rupa, mind and body, right?
Mm.
So that means the last faculties are based on mind and body, but this is related to the four foundations of mind. There is body and feeling, and the mental factor, and the mental phenomena. So that's what I'm saying. Is it conclusively related or conclusively related?
All related.
All together. Thank you. Thank you for understanding.
And inside, first of all, you mentioned the five training powers. Different. This five training power mentioned here is different from the seven body akhyatama, 37 factors.
Yeah, 37.
No, I'm talking from the inside.
Different.
This five training power. Is it different from five controlling faculty? So, this five training power is not under 37 body akhyatama. But here, five training power is not the five bala mentioned in the 37 factor of energy. Okay.
I'd just like to share, if there's a mistake, Salih, please. Everybody was talking about meditation. I think every one of us are directors. When we see a movie, the hero must come, hero is coming at it. Because the mindset is hero coming at it. See? So, but when we think hero coming, we never concentrate on our living. So, our mind really said, oh, hero coming. So, to make it easy, from what I hear this morning, to make it easy, we just come into the meditation hall and think now. Now, present, we sit at present. We think of present, we don't want to think about the past, we don't want to think about other people, or these people, or that people. We think now, I'm sitting in brother's bungalow, and I'm going to have a nice meditation. Then, a normal breathing. You don't have to recall, oh, this guy is better, that guy is better, I listen to this, I take this. Then your mind will be all like hero is coming, that hero is coming. Your mind will be obstructed with doubt, really meditations on your breathing. So actually breathing is very simple, you just relax. Just relax and close your eyes. Not using pressure or whatever it is, just a small slight loss. So press it hard. When you press it hard, your mind is in your eye. So it's not mindfulness, I think so. So just relax your eye, relax yourself with a mindfulness, then you just take it. We just don't think of anything. That is very easy. Then, if I'm wrong again, mindfulness and wisdom. If I'm wrong, mindfulness and wisdom is like we give love to other people or love to the soul or unseen soul. That is mindfulness
then we give ourselves love to, that is called wisdom. When we give other love, and the soul, and unseen soul, then we give ourselves love to, that means this is mindfulness and wisdom to ourselves.
This new way of expression. Oh, mindfulness and wisdom. But in Buddha's teaching, we never explain that way. Okay, let's start now. Learning of past and future, we like to learn. Okay, because it is good meditator, so what he say, for the way. The second part is. It's not the teaching problem. It's okay, it's your way of expression only. No one say wrong. No one
says wrong. It's a bit. So I, you know, when you mentioned about the light, so not to expect the light means so yesterday I was thinking this, and the light is like a shy girl or shy person. So if you want to see it, it runs away. So if you want to see it, you come. So, and
effectively,
happens something like
that. So, when I told the light is very shiny, huh? You cannot peek, huh? They just go away. Huh? So, if you don't notice it, then it comes to you. You keep an eye to it, then it just go away. That's like the best attitude. You don't care anything, just keep your attention on it. Right? Whether it comes or it does not come, very easy. The best attitude.
Okay, on another question, my understanding of, you mentioned the essence of the Buddha's teaching is cause and effect, meaning the Four Noble Truths is cause and effect. Karma and Vipaka is also cause and effect. Dependent on the religion, this is the
cause. Everything is cause and effect. Nimitta also cause and effect. Nimitta. Nimitta is the product of concentration. So if you have concentration, then the effect comes. Nimitta comes. Also comes like that. Everything is common. Not created. There's no creator in the teaching of the Buddha.
Just now, I agree with Moses says in theory you should not let all the past stop car something for the future. But I mean that in theory, in practice, can you share with us how do you do that? Instead of numb, so I just put everything aside. It won't come. You just put it numb and you just sit down. Even I have so many business to call, even I have a lot of this call, I think my roommate, no, I don't bother her, sir. I think I have a lot of this call. If I take that call, if I'm going to take that call, this will obstruct me and kill me, it will haunt me the whole day. So it obstructs my meditation. Well, I'm so worried about my work outside. So when I sit down for meditation, see them. I think that's why I don't take any call. I think I don't need so just sit down and think now, whatever it is now, sit down. Just be just focused. Then the then
I think
like our brothers was talking about the light we share. I think it's true. But we see the light, we just
ignore
and we just concentrate with what we are. Later stage, it will come, it will stop for more than 10, 15, 20 minutes. But we still don't bother it. In the end, what we share works.
Works.
What he's doing, is it considered
as an
effort?
Not only effort. We can let go. We can let go external things. He will not let external things to rock his peace of the mind. You know, if you think of past, rock your peace, rock your present moment, then you come here, you gain nothing. So
determination.
I'm not going to entertain external things. That
tomorrow
is
going to ask how to make look at it more and more, it becomes Sutapadana. So that becomes a different sort of grasping the mind onto an object.
Sometimes I'm curiously, for example, first time in university, although my student told me, although sister, you told me how to find when the leader comes, don't talk that day. But when it comes, I just carry away. How many times you told me also this? So, but once you get used to it, no more spatial, then you will not. Sometimes the beginning got to learn, fall down again, stand up, then fall down, and struggle again. Okay, any other questions? Okay. Make
your
question clear.
Based on this Mahayana tradition and the Theravada tradition for the Dhammayana, what impact has it? We are talking about karma, right? Birth is the subject. So based on the these two teachings, for the Sukhya Samanera, what impact will it have on the karmic effect of a person?
Good karma.
Good karma. What will be the karmic effect upon the individual or the person between the Mahayana and the Theravada tradition? And secondly,
No. This is Mahayana Samanera. I don't know how to keep that concept. So, as you know, my teaching, things I do not know, usually I don't comment on. Because it's not fair, right? I do not know how can I comment, it's biased. So, I do not know how the Mahayana conduct the Samanera combination, so I do not
compare. Okay. Based on the Theravada, what would be the karmic effect for the person, so that, because this one is reflected on karma and
so this being good karma, because we are Samanera, we have to take at least 10%, and also other minor 10%. All these are good karma. So when this karma happens, you will be reborn in heaven or in human being. This is the karma effect.
Second question. For the Theravada, is there a number of limitations of time to be the Samanera? How
many
the maximum, and for ladies,
they are different. For Mahayana and Theravada, it's different.
In Theravada, we don't need no limitation. You can be any number of times, for ladies and men.
If the monastery wants to
take you. There are no differences between ladies.
If the monastery wants to take you, want to accept you as Samanera, then no limitation. But if the monastery thinks that no, then there's limitation for you.
But for Mahayana, the ladies, there's a limitation. Thank you.
Can I watch the shortest period at the Samanera? What's the shortest period? Shortest
period, I don't know. But usually they go for 10 days. As a tradition, they go for 10 days, 2 weeks, 1 month. No, today you become Samanera, tomorrow you But you make the mom very busy. One day come, another
day. That's
why this time, Samanera, you try to think of the third month. Try to walk 15 months. I remember one time when I was in Jakarta, you know, Jakarta has no Sariwan, no Sariwan. So one time, one of the Mahashi tradition, they want to become Sariwan. So at that time, I was in Pa'al tradition, in the Pa'al center in Jakarta. So they invited me and some Sariwan to go to do ordination for them, to shake the hair. I said, I don't want to go, I'm not interested. He said, you know, you are most senior. Most senior of power. So you go.
okay, Father, recently like that, I have to go. So when I go there, then the ceremony after I shave the cut the hair, shave the hair. Wow, I shave the hair, everybody already finished. I one person shave the person's hair, and then I shave everybody. I never know how to shave people's hair. The three already finished, no. I already have finished. I said no more. This is how busy I only take care of one also I cannot do it. So I said no more. This time I just symbolic cut me and go. So it's very busy for one man to take to do all this ceremony. Yeah. Not that clear. I cannot say. I stretch. I need it. Oh, everybody wait for me, you know. And me, it's
so busy. No, I don't do this. But in fact, you should hire it. What I'm saying is 2 weeks in a monastery doesn't mean that you'll be sharing for 2 weeks. You are only for 1 day. You're only for 1 day. But you will practice the Buddha's teachings accordingly on the everyday services for 2 weeks. No, we have to be ordained 1 day, but you will be...
No, you ordained 1 day, meaning
that
2 weeks
before you come in. Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah, so, 2 weeks now. So we will be doing all the, what we call, the teachings of Buddha's practices, like Pratibhara.
That considered familiar?
Yeah.
Okay. Not 1 day.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Thank you.
Okay, since you talk about this knowledge program, I have one knowledge program in Himalaya. You are welcome to participate. Next year, August 1st to 15th in Himalaya. Why we choose Himalaya? Because Bodhisattva, you know? Before Bodhisattva is the religious person who practice to become Buddha. All the Bodhisattva appear in Himalaya. It's a very good place for practice. Therefore, we choose Himalaya to become temporary Himalaya.
Maybe we can try in Padipura.
Yeah,
I'll try in
Padipura
first.
Why is
that?
Why
is that? Because the monk, last time I promised him, so then all I started.
Thank you.